from the Star Rental Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, headlines on a Tuesday afternoon. Is it Tuesday or Thursday? In 3, 2, 1. Headlines on a Thursday afternoon, brought to you by our friends at Buddy's. Goodies in glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's.
This bus is for you.
News from the Pac-12. It's good news if you're a Pac-12 fan. Larry Scott, after almost 12 years on the job, is gone. Pac-12 commissioner will step down this summer. There will be an immediate search commencing for a new commissioner. Larry Scott has been on the job since July of 2009, but by the next football season, there will be a new commissioner of the Pac-12 Conference.
Sad news in the NFL. Former Packer GM Ted Thompson passing away at the age of 68. Drafted Aaron Rodgers, built the team that beat the Steelers in Super Bowl 45. Also, yeah, the VP of football ops with Mike Holmgren.
We'll get some thoughts from Mike on that in a matter of minutes here, by the way. NFL, one open head coaching job in the NFL. It's with the Texans. Eagles are going to hire Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni. Dwayne Haskins cut by Washington, signing with Pittsburgh. And how about this, Dick? The Jaguars have a brand new offensive coordinator. His name? Daryl Bevel. Mike Holmgren now on KJR.
Hey, don't do that to me! Don't give me that hand! Don't do that to me!
Your home for the 12th man presents Mike Holmgren.
Say, on sprint option, if they rush that guy that wide, loaded, doesn't get it done. Go to something else.
Powered by Toyota of Kirkland. Visit toyotaofkirkland.com. By Windermere at windermere.com. By Team Bruce at guildmortgage.com. By Car Toys, a better way to go. By Real Steel, find yours. Visit your local steel dealer today. And by Redbox. Redbox has the newest movies fresh from the theater for under $2 a night. Head to the box or stream on demand.
This is what I had my little peewee guy, Pop Warner, when I start coaching. They can do it better than you guys. And I paid them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
Now, Mike Holmgren on Seattle Sports Radio 950.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Can't start it that way.
No, you can't. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, because everyone's riding on your shoulders now.
KJR.
Guy, the longest open in the history of sports talk radio.
Well, he's unbelievable. Big guy. He needs a lot of sponsors.
Well, Kevin Stefanski, who is the now reigning Pro Football Writers Association head coach of the year from the Browns, he'll join us in a matter of minutes. I want to get some thoughts from Mike on the passing of Ted Thompson as well at some point in the next hour. But here he is, our guy, sitting by, waiting for us to call. He's been looking forward to this. I'm not sure if his wife can say the same, but Mike Holmgren with us on the air. How are you, man?
Always look forward to it, hearing from you two guys. So good to hear your voices.
Yeah, you too as well. We're going to talk to Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Browns, in just a minute. But, man, lots of stuff to talk about over the weekend for sure with the way that Chief-Brown game ended and the end of the half there. And we'll talk to Kevin about this. But you were on the competition committee, right, for a while, I think, in the NFL. The idea of a ball fumbled out of the back of the end zone being turned over to the opposing team. Are you a fan of that rule?
No, I'm not. Yet it won a game, an important game for me. You would remember the game, too, against the Raiders in Washington Stadium,
yeah.
Husky Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
A night game, and they fumbled. And I knew the rule because we had talked about it on the competition committee. But apparently Al Davis didn't. He was very, very upset about the whole thing. But, no, it's we talked about it every year. And I can't remember why it never – we didn't have enough votes to get it thrown out. I think it's a bad rule. I think that in a situation like that, if the ball is fumbled out of bounds on the field of play, it goes back to the offense. If it's fumbled through the end zone and it's not recovered by the defense, then bring it out to the 1 yard line or where it was fumbled. You know, that makes more sense to me. And we tried every year. I was on the committee, Dave. I was on there a long time. And, we couldn't get it passed.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, this might be, you know, the impetus that people like you need to get this thing changed. But a guy that knows what it's like, right, to be on the other end of that is actually joining us right now on the radio show, Mike. What do you say we welcome in a guy that just won the Pro Football Writers Association Head Coach of the Year Award today? Kevin Stefanski is with us on the radio show. Kevin, Coach, how are you, first of all? And second of all, say hello to Mike Holmgren.
Thanks for having me, guys. Coach, I'm really a pleasure and an honor to be on with you.
Oh, no, listen, Kevin, I didn't get a chance to vote for the Coach of the Year because I'm too old, but you had my vote. I mean, I was with the Browns for a while, as you know, And what you did this season with that team under these circumstances, after what their history has been, it was remarkable. So congratulations. I mean it. You did a marvelous job and very, very deserving of this honor. And I want to thank you for coming on the show. I've got a few questions for you. Some of them are easy. Some of them might hurt your feel, hurt a little bit. But I really want to start off. You know, 4 years ago, they didn't win a game, and now you're in the playoffs. When you go into a place, and you know, people toss this around a lot. We got to change the culture. I had to change the culture. What did you do? Talk to me a little bit about the transition in your first year as a head coach there.
Yeah, Coach, you know, when you get to a place, really your focus goes right to the future. And I don't put my head in the sand. I don't ignore the past. But I really wanted to put the focus on what we were going to do moving forward. So I just thought it was real important for our guys to understand the vision that I had in terms of how we were going to play offense, defense, and special teams, communicate that vision to the players, and just let them know that we respect the past and we understand it. We don't hide from it. But we were so forward-thinking and really put the focus on everything moving in our future. And I think the players buy into that. And the thing you know, Coach, is your teams change over year to year. So you have a bunch of guys that are new to the city or maybe were there the year before for the first time. And you got a bunch of coaches coming in that really didn't have that history. So it wasn't hard for us to not dwell on the past because a lot of us weren't there for it.
You know, when I came into both Green Bay and Seattle, you know, obviously if there's an opening, it's because it didn't go quite right with the previous administration. But I had some players there that were used to doing things a certain way and really didn't buy in. And it took me a couple years to kind of change the culture, if you will, change some of the players. Did you have to do a little of that?
You know what, Coach, and I really believe this, we had a bunch of really good people in that building when I got there, and I'm talking from staff to players. And then what we did do is the guys that we brought in, the guys that Andrew Berry and his staff identified through the trades that we made in free agency, in the draft, one of the things I heard said is pay attention to the people. And if you paid attention to the people we brought in, I think there a lot of them were like-minded. They were smart. They were tough. They were just about work. And I think from our draft class to some of the free agents, I just think we brought in solid people. Now, they better be able to play, as you know. And I thought we did pretty well in that regard as well. But I just think we added some good people to what I thought was a pretty good building already. And then, you know, suddenly you've changed the culture when I really just think we just brought in some good people.
You know, I as I watched this season progress and I thought about you guys who were having to coach during this pandemic and I was asked many times how I would have handled it. And it was just hard. But you did a marvelous job. But your team was hit. I mean, you did have some moments there where it was hard. You lost players. You got sick. How did you handle that? How was it different, and how did you handle actually the COVID problem?
Well, there was nothing in the handbook for that one, Coach. I looked everywhere for that chapter on how to handle COVID, but it wasn't in there. You know, as you know, every year brings its own challenges. Now, this year, were the challenges unique to any other year? Absolutely, they were different. But I just was proud of our guys. In anything that came their way, they didn't blink. And I think that really probably speaks to when we got together there in April. You know, normally you walk into a team meeting, that first team meeting, and you're staring at everybody sitting across from you. I was doing that on Zoom. So right away, things were different. And I think we just instilled and tried to instill in the guys that this was not going to be a normal season, and there's an opportunity in that. So I just felt like the resilient piece was going to be very important this year. And I'm proud that, you know, we lost five games in the regular season, but we didn't lose two in a row. And I feel like that's from our players. I give the credit to our players in understanding that it's really how you respond to these challenges
less so about, are you going to get knocked down? Of course you're going to get knocked down. But the guys responded when we were down, and then they made sure that that one loss didn't become two.
You know, we're talking with Kevin Stefanski, who is the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, and my vote for Coach of the Year this year, which he's going to get, and took him to the playoffs for the first time in a long time. First playoff game, you couldn't be there. I was just thinking, oh, this poor guy. I phoned the league office. I want to tell you, I phoned Roger Goodell and said, you got stick him at the, put him in a press box all by himself. Get him away. Let him be there. Well, how was that? What was that like?
Man, I don't recommend it. I would hope nobody has to watch their team play on TV. It was so strange, Coach, and it was surreal. I couldn't believe it as it was happening. It didn't feel totally strange until really pregame. And now, the jitters and the butterflies start coming in, and I can't walk out onto the field and check in with the team. I was away from them, and I couldn't have any communication during the game. So I never want to feel that again. But I would tell you, I did a lot of pacing. I wore out the rug in my basement, and I was so proud of the guys. And I wasn't surprised because I knew they were ready to go, and they didn't need me there on the sideline to perform. But I'm really proud of those guys.
Well, they had a great game. And listen, I don't think there are more than 20 million people listening to us right now. So tell me the truth. Were you hooked up to the actually calling the plays from your basement? You can tell me the truth. No one will know.
Yeah, no one's listening, right? I wasn't, Coach. I had my phone off. I wasn't talking to anybody. In fact, my family was upstairs, and I was isolating from them because I didn't want to get them sick. So I was away from them completely as well. And, I do want to give credit. Mike Prefer did a great job as the interim coach that night. Alex Van Pelt called an amazing game. I mean, everything he called was gold. So those guys really get they get the credit.
Well, you know, I was really happy for you. I just didn't know how I handled it. That would be, I said, the first chance he gets to be a head coach, and now he's in the playoffs and he can't be there. But nice going. Hey, I had Brett Favre, as you know, who was a little bit unpredictable early in his career. You have Baker Mayfield, both very talented men. Talk to me about Baker just a little bit. He seems like an interesting young guy.
He is, and, you know, Coach, I was with Brett when he came to the Vikings there those 2 years.
That's right, you were.
2009 and 10. Yeah, I was a young quality control coach working with the quarterbacks. I listened a lot. I didn't say anything. I just listened to Brett and the quarterbacks and the coaches talk. It was amazing. But Baker is, I described him today. Somebody was asking about him. He's a gym rat. He loves ball, and he loves to work at it. You tell him to do something, he's going to do it. And he wants to be coached. You can coach him hard. He listens. We changed some things with his footwork in the gun in particular, under center a little bit as well. Gave him some concepts that were new to him. And he worked his butt off at them. And I just you don't know a guy until you spend a season with him and watch them prepare. And to watch how he prepared and to see how he studied film and took notes and then was on the practice field in between periods, grabbing the receivers and I need this route one more time. I really respect guys that work. And that's what I think about when talking about Baker.
Oh, that's great. And he's a young guy with a lot of football ahead of him. That's for sure. Plus, I like his commercials. Are you going to be in some of his commercials that I see on TV?
No, I'm leaving that to Baker. That's his gift.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about the Kansas City game. I as hard as that was, and I've been there. I think there are a lot of people in Cleveland that are proud of you and proud of the way the team played. It was a very close football game. Can you talk to me about your emotions just a little bit?
For sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, going up against Andy Reid, who worked with you in Green Bay. And I mean, I've admired Coach Reid for years and just as a good man. So you knew what you were getting into when you try to go to Arrowhead and win a playoff game versus that team. Great players really on both sides of the ball, outstanding scheme, which is no surprise with the coaches they have. So we know it was going to be a challenge. it hurts me to this moment. It hurts our fans that we weren't able to get it done. And coach, you know this, and you've won that you've been the last team standing. But when you're not, it hurts. And that's where it's our job as coaches. We have to find a way to get better. So my reflections on that game are we came up short, and there's about 1,000 things I wish I could have done differently. But now I go into this offseason and I look at it and say, all right, what are those specific things? How are we going to evolve as an offense? So what are some things that we need to do more of? What are some things we need to do less of? On defense, what coverages fit our guys? So those are all the questions that hit you right smack in the face when the season ends so abruptly. And I'm really eager to get down to work and start that scheme evaluation.
Kevin, good for you.
Yeah, Kevin, it's Dave Mahler. We were talking earlier on text, and I just wonder what your thoughts were about the touchback rule going into the game and what your thoughts are on the touchback rule coming out of the game, if they've changed at all.
You know, I've never really thought about the rule changing. It's always just been the rule to me. And I heard Coach talking earlier being on the committee to potentially change it. My mind's never really gone there. Knowing how tough it is when you fumble down there, it's so costly. In fact, it's way more costly than anywhere else in the field. So we try really hard to coach the guys up. When you're in that moment, unless it's fourth down, do not reach that thing. And it's very hard because naturally all guys want to go make a big play, obviously. And so you got to fight that urge. And we'll just continue to coach it that way. And you know, whether they change the rule or not is up to some smarter people than myself.
Well, Coach, there's another rule that could potentially be changed that was on that play. I mean, should targeting be reviewed, even if it's not flagged on the field? Because your guy clearly got targeted, and that's probably why he fumbled the ball.
Yeah, again, those are the things I'll leave to the league office. I will tell you, if targeting was a rule when I was playing safety in college, I wouldn't have made it through many games.
That sounds like, boy, does that sound like a true safety, not a quarterback coach? We're talking to Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He was nice enough to come on our show today. He has started his off season, and after the playoffs, or when the season ends, whether it's after the Super Bowl or after your playoffs or whenever it does, how do you handle that, and what do you do for your coaches? And just, is there time off? You regroup. What's going? How's that working?
Well, I was indoctrinated in the NFL under Brad Childress, who came from Andy Reid, who came from you. So I promise you, our schedule is right out of the Mike Holmgren playbook. I want to make sure that I take care of the coaches. It's time to rest up and recharge. So they'll be off next. We work this week. They'll be off next week. And then I've already got it mapped out, and we'll come in the morning and we'll do scheme evaluation, and we'll do some personnel in the afternoon. And with that scheme eval, and you know this better than anybody, you start in the run game and you start with the tackles for loss, and it's not fun. And then you're going to move on to the sack reel, and you're going to move on the interception reel, and they're going to have guys yelling at each other, and it's not going to be fun. But that's the way you got to do it. That's the way you got to get better. You have to look at some of the shortcomings. There'll be plenty of good tape to watch as well. But I'm so sincere when I say I want our guys to think about how we can evolve, because I think the great teams in this league don't stay the same year to year.
You know what? That sounds so good. You're handling it, I think, just right, because everyone needs a chance to recharge. But then when you dive back in, you have to look in the mirror, and you have to start with yourself and then work your way down and make changes. Going from a coordinator position and then a longtime assistant in the league to the head coach, and did people think that's an easy transition, but your life really changes. Talk about how it was different than being the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's very different. You're just constantly making decisions. And you know, there's people coming in and out of the office, and they need an answer on things. I think year one is probably the hardest, because you have to set your path, you have to set your program, and everything's new to everyone. There's hopefully conversations that only have to happen in year one, because once people understand how, you know, I want practice to look, how we want our travel to look, those are really the tough conversations in year one that you fight through, and hopefully year two, it's a little bit less so of making sure everything's the way you want it. But I would just tell you, there's, and you know this better than anybody and better than me, when you're sitting there in that desk, there's things that come your way every day that you did not prepare for. And you just got to be ready to take each case by case and listen and hopefully make sound decisions.
Hey, Kevin, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I know it's tough after a loss, but listen, you deserve the awards you're getting. You did a remarkable job this year. I'm so proud of the Cleveland Browns. I'm proud of you. And I just wish you the best in the future moving forward. And thanks again for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate that. And coming from you, Coach, that means a lot.
You got it, man. Great stuff from Kevin Stefanski. Mike, good work with that. What do you say we get a break? We'll come back with a ton of stuff from the weekend. And also, Mike, want to get your thoughts on the passing of one of your mentors as well, and Ted Thompson. We'll get to all that next. Mike Holmgren continues with us on Softy and Dick on 950 KJR.